Turning your Bibles to John chapter 11, we're continuing, of course, our study of the Gospel of John. And we're seeing the John shows that Jesus to be the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior, and all who believe in Him have eternal life. And if you remember the handout that we gave you at the beginning, on one side is the outline of the Gospel of John, on the other is the seven signs and the seven I Am statements we have seen. In fact, we're now to the last one. We've seen where Jesus changed the water to wine, and He healed the nobleman's son, and the healing of the invalid, and the feeding of the 5,000, walking on the water, healing the man born blind, and now, where it's talking about Lazarus being raised from the dead. There are seven I Am statements. We haven't seen all those. We're in the midst of that, and we'll continue to see those. We've seen that He's the bread of life and the light of the world and the door and the good shepherd. We'll see more as we go through that. But and as we move into chapter 11, we're going to see the last of the seven signs. And it's really amazing because you might say He saves the best for last. In fact, as we look at this, we're going to see that Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. There's so much in this passage. It's going to take us several weeks to go through it. In fact, some of it we'll have to stop and go through some Christmas things, which are going to be so fun and so good as we think about the birth of our Savior. But of course, in the Gospel of John, we're seeing the end. We're right toward the end. We're going to see the death and the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. When we think about life and resurrection and living forever and heaven and hell and being with God or being separated, there's some things I want you to think about. Let me raise what I'm going to call it several issues and several questions. Think about this. First of all, Jesus was the first one to rise from the dead. He's called the first fruits of the resurrection. Now, we know that that is true. That's what the Bible teaches. But here's the question then. Then what about Lazarus? Because Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And what about the little daughter, the little 12-year-old girl that He raised from the dead? And what about the widow at Nain? He raised her son from the dead. How is Jesus the first one to rise from the dead if Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and some of these others? How does that fit together? What is resurrection exactly? How was Jesus the first one? There's a second question, and that is, let's see, yeah, there it is. Will all people be raised from the dead, both believers and unbelievers? I mean, the Bible talks about how Jesus died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again, conquering death. Will all exist forever? Is there a difference between living forever and existing forever? What is the difference between eternal life and, as the Bible calls it, the second death? How does all that fit? What is the basis for being raised from the dead? What happens to all believers and unbelievers? And then the third thing, is there an order or a pattern to resurrection? Will just all people be raised from the dead? And by the way, when we're talking about resurrection, we're talking about bodily resurrection. When we say resurrection, we're talking about the bodies being raised up. Will everybody be raised at one time? Or as 1 Corinthians 15 says, each man in his own order. What does that fit? How does that work? Well, as we look at these issues in John chapter 11, we're going to see how the seventh sign and some of these things, we'll talk about how they fit together. Well, you know, the Bible uses the term gospel, and the word gospel means good news. And the good news is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to the earth, died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. So He died on the cross to pay for sin, and He rose again to conquer death. And so you realize that death is conquered, that death is not the end. In fact, all people, are you ready for this? All people will be raised from the dead, both believers and unbelievers. In fact, I want you to think about this. When a person believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible says that they have eternal life. They will live forever with Christ. That is called eternal life. But when a person does not believe in Jesus Christ and they die, the Bible says that they will be separated from Christ forever. And this is called the second death. So we have what we call eternal life and second death. And the truth is this, all people will be raised from the dead. Some people will be raised from the dead to exist forever, living forever with Jesus Christ called eternal life. There'll be some people raised from the dead, existing forever to be separated from God. And it's called the second death, and they will die forever. All will exist. All of us will exist. All human beings will exist, either having eternal life, being forever with Jesus Christ, or having the second death, or we might even call it eternal death, being separated from Jesus Christ forever. There is resurrection of the body of every person. We want to deal with these issues as we go through John chapter 11, as we see the seventh sign recorded by John, so we can see how this fits together. Well, let's begin. There are probably less than 4 months, time-wise, speaking through this, that before Jesus goes to the cross. We've already had, it's already been the Feast of Hanukkah, which would be in December, and now he's going to die, of course, on Passover. And so it's 3 to 4 months before Jesus dies. He had been in Jerusalem. He had been in conflict with the religious leaders. And for the last several weeks, we saw that Jesus, while he was in Jerusalem, talked about the fact that he was the shepherd. In fact, he publicly declared that he was the shepherd of the sheep. And here's what we saw. We saw that he was the shepherd who gives salvation. He was the shepherd who lays down his life. He was the shepherd who gives eternal life. And he was the shepherd who is God. That was all found in John chapter 10. After a conflict with the religious leaders, Jesus goes into a wilderness area. And in fact, if you look at John chapter 10, verse 40, and he went away again beyond the Jordan to a place where John was first baptizing, and he was staying there. Now, that place is called Bethany beyond the Jordan. I want you to understand there are two Bethanies in the scripture. There is a Bethany that is 2 miles away from Jerusalem, which we're going to see in John chapter 11. There is a Bethany which is beyond the Jordan to the east, which is further away. This Bethany beyond the Jordan is where Jesus is right now. The passage that we're going to deal with this morning takes place in Bethany, which is right by Jerusalem. Now, I loved the very last part. Look at the last part of chapter 10. We saw this last week. It said, many came to him, and they were saying, while John performed no sign, yet everything John said about this man was true. But notice the last verse. Many believed in him there. First of all, it's the word many. Many, that means a lot of people believed in him. Now, faith is always the key. You believe in Jesus Christ. You trust in him. And it said many believe in him. Salvation is in the person of Christ. We are saved because we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We believe that he's the Son of God who died on the cross, paying for sin, rose again, conquering death. We trust in him to give us eternal life. We ended last week with it saying many people believed in him while he was there. Now, this morning, we see the final sign. And let me be clear about this. Jesus did, if you go through the four Gospels, there were 30 miracles that Jesus did. There were 30 signs. John says that there are many signs Jesus did, but these are written that you might believe that he's the Christ, the Son of God. John gives us 7 signs in the Gospel of John, but there are actually 8 signs. The very last sign is we're going to see at the end of the book when Jesus rises from the dead. In Matthew chapter 12, they said to him, we want to see a sign. And he said, no sign shall be given to this generation except the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the great fish 3 days and 3 nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. The final sign that Jesus gave was rising from the dead. Now, we see 7 signs in here, and we're seeing the 7th sign that John gives us where he raises Lazarus from the dead. But the last sign is when Jesus comes back from the dead. Now, realize that as you look at the life of Christ, and if we study this verse by verse, passage by passage, we've been going through it a long time, we still got, even though we're toward the end, time-wise, we got a lot to go. I mean, there's a lot in the book, and we'll see it as we go through 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, all of those passages. But we see 2 things as you go through this. First of all, people either believe, and they trust in Jesus Christ, and they have eternal life, or they reject, and they're separated. We come to the climax, the sign of Lazarus, Jesus raising him from the dead. Now remember this, that the religious leaders, they have rejected Christ. They do not like him. They do not want him there. They're bothered about him. And this is ultimately, this final sign of raising Lazarus from the dead is ultimately going to bring about the fact that they're going to get him, they're going to arrest him, they're going to take him, they're going to try him. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to die for us. He's going to rise again. Well, let's see the final sign. Lazarus is sick. And Jesus, the plan is they send somebody to Jesus and say, your friend is sick, come help. And we see what Jesus does. Now, as we start, there are 3 people that were very close to Jesus. Now, if you remember that there were all kind of people that followed Jesus, and there was a time there were 100 and something, and then there were the 12, and then of the 12, there were 3, Peter, James, and John. But of other people that Jesus dealt with, there were 3 people that were his close friends. And they were Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They lived in a little town called Bethany, which was about 2 to 2.5 miles from Jerusalem. If you were in Jerusalem and you're at the temple area, you would leave the temple area and go out what's known as the Eastern Gate. You would go down a hill to the Kidron Valley. You'd go up a hill called the Mount of Olives because olive trees were all over the side of it. When you got to the top of the hill, it sort of leveled off, and you could go for a little bit, and there was a little town, a little village called Bethany. There were also a couple of other little villages in that area. So for Jesus, for him to leave Jerusalem, it wouldn't take him very long to get to these people's house. They were very close. Here's the problem. Lazarus gets sick, and he's so sick that he may die. And so the two sisters say, we got to get the word to Jesus before Lazarus dies. And so obviously they send a friend, they send somebody to find Jesus and tell him to hurry as fast as possible. Watch what happens. John 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Now Jesus was sick. He's close in the family, close with Jesus, and they have a big part in the life of Jesus and his ministry. Look at verse 2. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. We say, well, when did that happen? We haven't seen that. We've gone all the way through the book. Who is it? It hadn't happened yet. It's going to happen in chapter 12. John is just telling us, this is the Mary that did that. Do you know what happened? Jesus is sitting at their house. Mary comes with this stuff that is very, very expensive, and she breaks the jar, and she pours it all over his feet, and then she takes her hair, and she wipes his feet. And Judas Iscariot is going to say, hey, wait a minute, well, that's a waste of money. We could have used that money for something else. We're going to see that in chapter 12. So John just wants us to know exactly who these people are. It's Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And Lazarus is sick. And it was this Mary who did this, that she anointed the Lord with the ointment, wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother was the one that was sick. Now watch what happened. So the sister sent word to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Now that would be normal, wouldn't it? When you say somebody send, somebody go and tell Jesus to hurry back. I want you to understand that in Bethany by Jerusalem, the best we can understand, it would take about a day to get to where Jesus is in Bethany beyond the Jordan. Okay? So picture a person leaving in the morning and getting to Jesus and getting there and saying, Lazarus is really bad sick, you need to come. And then he heads back because what Jesus tells him. But you know what Jesus tells him? He said, it's not going to end in death. It's just going to be for the glory of God. So the guy says, oh, he's going to be okay. And he turns around and heads back. Takes him about a day to get back. But guess what Jesus does? He stays 2 more days before he even leaves. And then he leaves and it takes him a day to get there. So by the time he gets there, guess what? Lazarus has already been dead 4 days. Now here's the question. Why did Jesus wait? If somebody came in, what if somebody called you 2 o'clock in the morning and they say, I'm on Highway 51. I was coming back from Oklahoma City and my car's all messed up. I don't know what's wrong. And my battery's about to die and the cell phone, you're my best friend. Could you come out and get me? And you said, you're going to be fine. Right? You're going to be fine. You know, I'm coming. Click. And you wait and then your battery dies. And they don't come. In fact, they wait till 2 days later to come. You'd say, why didn't you come? I called you. Martha and Mary says, why didn't Jesus come? We sent that guy. Why didn't Jesus turn around and come right back with that guy? And what is so sad is the day that he left, Lazarus died. And by the time Jesus gets there, it's been 4 days. And here's the question. Why 4 days? What's so important about 4 days? Why would Jesus wait? Well, look what Jesus says. Verse 3, the sister sent word to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But Jesus heard this. He said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified. He said, this sickness will not end in death. But the glory of God, and we need to remember this, because let me ask you something. You read it. He died. But it didn't end in death. It ends in life, because Jesus is going to raise him from the dead. Now, when his friend came and said, you got to get back there. Martha and Mary sent me. Lazarus is really sick. You need to come. And Jesus said, it's not going to end in death. It's going to end in the glory of God. The guy says, good. Okay. He's going to be okay. And he heads back. But Jesus doesn't go. And see, we could say, it did end in death. No, it didn't. Jesus raised him from the dead. Notice what he says. This sickness is not the end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Sometimes things go wrong. Sometimes it doesn't turn out like we think. And we say, why is that happening now? And that didn't work out right. And this shouldn't be happening to us. And it sure shouldn't be happening to me. And this shouldn't happen here. And yet we have to say is, it's for the glory of God. All things work together for good. Those that love God, those that are called according to his purpose. He didn't say all things were good. He said they all work together for good. They all work for the glory of God. Now look at verse 5, just so we understand. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, that's Mary, and Lazarus. It's not that Jesus doesn't care. When the guy said, I'm going back, you coming? Jesus said, I'll be there. He takes off. And then they stay a whole day. And then another whole day. And we could say, that doesn't add up. If I'm sitting on Highway 51 and I call one of y'all, please don't wait 2 days, okay? Right? We're saying, but I thought you really cared about me. And sometimes we say to God, God, why did you let this happen? Why is this happening now? Why doesn't this end? Why does this keep going like this? I thought you cared about me. He does. In fact, he loves us with an unchanging, eternal, maximum love. Do you know this? That if you serve God, God doesn't love you any more than he loves you right now. And if you don't serve God, he doesn't love you any more or any less. He loves you to the maximum right now. He cannot love you any more than he loves you right now. Can you imagine that? It's beyond our comprehension how much he loves us. Well, notice verse 6. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Now, first of all, Jesus didn't panic, right? Somebody could say, you got to get there before it's too late. Jesus says, it's never too late for me, right? Do you ever see Jesus in a hurry? I mean, you can't see Jesus walking through the streets. Excuse me, I got to get there. I got to do a miracle. I'm a little bit late for a miracle, right? No, he didn't do that. You never see Jesus in a hurry because he works all things out in his will. He realizes it's just as easy for Jesus to raise the dead as it is to heal the sick. You can see the disciples thinking, I thought he really liked Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Why didn't he go? Because normally, I mean, when he finds out something, he helps. I mean, he helps. What is going on? And if you're Martha and Mary, you're saying, why didn't he come? Why didn't he come with the friend we sent? Why didn't he turn around right then and come? Why did Lazarus die? Why didn't he get here? We're going to see in this passage, both sisters, when they see him, they fall at his feet and say, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Sometimes we say, God, where are you when all this happens? When all this happens, where are you? I showed you this while ago. I mentioned it while ago. But it was a day to get the message to Jesus. Then he waited 2 days, and it was a day for him to get back to Bethany. So it's 4 days total. And the next slide, bottom line, is when he gets there, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And we won't find it out today, but we'll find it out next Sunday. Why 4 days? Why did he wait? What does he do? Verse 7. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let's go to Judea again. It's time to go. Let's go. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you're going there again? See, he said, let's go on back now. And they said, wait a minute. It's gotten pretty dangerous because if you remember in John 8:59, they picked up stones to try to stone him. And then John 10:31, they tried to stone him. And you realize that now it's gotten worse and worse. The closer it gets to the time that Jesus is going to die, more and more of these religious leaders take it in their own hands. They've tried to kill him 2 to 3 times. And let me tell you, the guys with Jesus, guess what? They know. They don't really want to go because they know that if they kill Jesus, they may kill them because they're part of it. They're part of Jesus' plan. They're part of Jesus' group. They're called Jesus' disciples. They're actually called Jesus' apostles. And so they know if they kill Jesus, it's a good shot they're going to kill them. So they don't really want to go. And so when Jesus said, let's go to Judea, the disciples said, Rabbi, the Jews are just now seeking to stone you. You're wanting to go again? You could hear him say, maybe it's not that good an idea to go, right? And since Lazarus is going to be okay, because we heard you say it will not end death, but for the glory of God. So what's the hurry, right? Maybe we don't even need to go. Maybe we don't even need to go. Look what Jesus says. And Jesus answered, on that 12 hours in the day, if one walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not with him. What he's trying to say there is, listen, well, as long as I'm doing the will of the Father, I'm in the light, I'm doing the right stuff, I'm okay. Listen, the truth is this, as long as you're doing what God wants you to do, you're okay. When you get away from doing the things God wants you to do, that's when you're not okay. We're always safe doing the will of God, and the very best place to be is in the will of God. It doesn't matter where it is. You can be in another country. You can be in a place which is hostile to all Christians. If that's where God has you, you are the safest you could ever be. So Jesus said, basically, as long as I'm here, I have a ministry to do, and I'm fine. I'm fine. And you know they couldn't touch Jesus till the right time. They've tried to get him. They've tried to stone him. They've tried to grab him. They can never grab him. He's the one that's going to lay down his life and take it up again. Watch what he says. Then he said, this he said, and then after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go that I may waken him out of sleep. So see, what he's saying is that Lazarus died, and there's an analogy in the scripture that talks about the body resting or sleeping, because when you die, your spirit is absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Your spirit's with the Lord, but your body's in the ground or wherever, and he's basically saying it looks like you're sleeping. So he says, Lazarus is sleeping, and I'm going to go wake him up. In fact, look at the next little slide. He says, he's going to go to Bethany and raise Lazarus from the dead. This will glorify the Son of God. Because remember what he said at the beginning? This is not going to end in death. It's going to end in the glory of God. This is the last sign. With that in mind, let me remind you of what we talked about at the beginning. We said this. How is Jesus the first fruits of resurrection? I mean, if he raises Lazarus from the dead, if he raises the widow Nain's son from the dead, and if he raises the little girl, 12-year-old girl from the dead, how is the first one to rise from the dead? I want you to understand there's a difference between resurrection and resuscitation. Resurrection is to rise from the dead, never to die again. Jesus Christ is the first one to rise from the grave, never to die again. He died on the cross, paid for sin, 3 days later, rose from the grave. Lazarus is going to be resuscitated. He's going to be raised up. He's going to die again. And that little 12-year-old girl, she eventually died. And the widow's son at Nain, he eventually died again. So resurrection is to come back from the dead bodily, never to die again. Jesus is the first one. Okay? So that's how he could be the first fruits, as the Bible talks about it. John Stott said, we live and die. Jesus died and lived. There's a second question. Will all rise or not? Will everybody rise from the dead? The answer is yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in Christ all will be made alive. You understand that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid for sin. When he rose from the grave, he conquered death. And we're talking about physical death, and that means every human being who has ever existed and ever will exist will be raised bodily from the grave. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your victory? There's not one. Jesus Christ has conquered death. You understand every human being who has ever lived will be raised from the dead. Remember what we said a while ago? Some will be raised from the dead, and they will spend eternity with Jesus Christ, called eternal life. That's because they've trusted in Christ. Some others will be raised from the dead. They will spend eternity separated from Jesus Christ. It's called the second death, and it's because they did not believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Here's the third question. Is there an order? What order will they be raised? Will it be like everybody at one time? Well, 1 Corinthians 15 says they'll be each one in his own order. Now, I want you to understand that there are two resurrections. First resurrection deals with believers. The second resurrection deals with the unbeliever. I want you to notice this. First of all, in the order of the first resurrection, the believers, the first one to rise from the dead is Jesus Christ. Following that, the church, us, will be raised from the dead. Following that will be the Old Testament tribulation saints, and that is all of the first resurrection. They'll all be raised at different times. Then there will be the time called the kingdom, in which they will rule. Jesus Christ will rule on the earth for 1,000 years. Following the kingdom, there will be what is known as the second resurrection. It's the resurrection of the unbelievers. It's called the second death, and it is death and Hades are raised up. So I want you to understand that there are two aspects of the resurrection. First resurrection, believers. Second resurrection, unbelievers. First resurrection begins with Jesus, followed by the church, followed by the Old Testament and the tribulation believers. Then there's the kingdom. After the kingdom, there is the second resurrection, or the second death. The unbelievers are raised. They stand before what is called the great white throne judgment. Their names are not found written in the book of life, and they're cast in the lake of fire, which is the same as the second death. So understand there is an order and a plan there. Now, quickly, we'll finish this little section. So Jesus said, I'm going to go wake him up. Well, look what the disciples then said to him. Verse 12, the disciples then said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. What they're really saying is, there's really no need in us taking a chance by going down there. Right? Because we don't need to get into trouble. Because, you know, last time you were there, they tried to kill you. And so maybe the very best thing to do is not to go. And he's going to be okay. Look at verse 13. Now, Jesus has spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. You can see their faces. I thought you said he was asleep. No, he's dead. I'm not talking about literal sleep. I'm talking about death. And then Jesus says, and I'm glad for your sakes I wasn't there, so that you may believe. He said, see, if I'd have been there, I probably wouldn't have ever let him die. If I'd have been there, I wouldn't have let him die. But I'm glad I wasn't there. I'm glad that he died. I'm glad you're going to see the power of the resurrection. Glad that you're going to see that I am the resurrection and the life, and that I've conquered death. And death for any of us in this room is not the end, because Jesus died and rose again. Look what he says. I'm really glad for your sakes, verse 15, that I was not there so that you may believe. Let's go to him. Going to him may mean what? It may mean you die. So look what Thomas says. Therefore, Thomas, who is called Didymus, by the way, the word Didymus means twin. He had a twin. He had a twin brother or twin sister. We don't know. He just had a twin. That's what the name means, Didymus. So Thomas, who's called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, he said, let us also go so that what? That we may die with him. He's figuring to die. You know, everybody calls him Doubting Thomas. He's not Doubting Thomas. He's Fighting Thomas. He says, let's go. That we're going to die. I mean, we're going to die with him. And if we're going to die, they're going to get us when we're down there. But they're going to get us when we're down there. But we're going with Jesus. That's what he's saying. What happens? Why did he wait 4 days? What's going to happen when he gets there? One of the sisters is going to get up first and come see him. Wonder why? What's their personalities like? Why does Martha come see him and Mary doesn't? Then why would they both see him? Why do they both say, if you had been here, our brother would not have died? Why does Jesus weep? See, next time you can see that they came to the tomb. And people are crying everywhere. And Jesus weeps. Why would he weep if he says, just a second, it's going to all be over. You don't have to. Why is everybody so sad? Why did he weep? What's going on in this passage? We'll see it next time. Lazarus is sick, and as they send for Jesus, Jesus says, it's not going to end up in death. It's going to end up for the glory of God. So the messenger goes back, and Lazarus dies. Jesus waits at least 2 more days. And then by the time he gets there, Lazarus is going to have been dead 4 days. The guys didn't understand. They thought Jesus was talking about him just getting well and sleeping. And he said, no, he's dead. I'm glad that I wasn't there so you can see the power. Some great things. Let me give you some applications. First of all, let's see Jesus as the resurrection and the life. That's who he is. He has the power to raise the dead. He's the one that died on the cross to pay for sin. He's the one that rose again, conquering death. Every human being will be raised because Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. You will exist forever. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you will exist forever with Jesus Christ. It's called eternal life. If you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you will exist forever, separated from Jesus Christ, called the second death. So if there's anyone in this room who has never believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, I want you to understand that he is the Son of God who died on the cross to pay for your sins, to rise again so he could conquer death. And he gives us the gift of eternal life to anyone who believes. Right where you're sitting right now, you can believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can trust in him and say, I trust in you to give me life, eternal life. Second, know the meaning and the order of resurrection. Know what it means. Know what resurrection means. It's not resuscitation, but it's coming back from the dead, never to die again. Know the idea that in the first resurrection, there's Christ, the church, Old Testament, and tribulation saints. Then there's the kingdom. Then there's a second resurrection, which is the unbelievers, which is called the second death. If you want to make sure you understand that, and I just didn't have time today, go to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Chapter 20, read the chapter, you will see, especially about the first 10 verses, you will see the whole idea of the second death and the resurrection and all of those kind of things. Third, trust Jesus Christ even when things seem wrong. Because Martha and Mary would say, this isn't right. This is not right. This is one of our best friends. This is a man that we know can do anything. He's our Savior. We know who he is. Why didn't he come? And why would he let this happen? And in our lives, we say, why did this happen? Why hadn't it turned out the way I thought it was going to turn out? We have to trust him. Trust him when things seem wrong. May we trust Jesus Christ in the events of our life, resting in the one who has conquered death. He is the resurrection and the life. And believing in him, we have eternal life and will live forever with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you for the great truths, Lord. We thank you that you are the resurrection of life, that you died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again, and you give eternal life to all who believe. Thank you, Lord, that in exactly the right time, Jesus rose from the grave, the church will be raised up, the Old Testament tribulation saints will be raised up, even the unbelievers will be raised up. May we know and understand the order and the plan of resurrection. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust you when things look like they're wrong. You are a great God. You love us beyond what we could imagine. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.